Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program advertising Phantom Nation, inventing the Palestinians as the obstacle to peace, a book available on Amazon in a Kindle ebook version or two-volume hardcover box set, or patronize your local bookstore and have them order a copy. It's simultaneously a great read and a record for the history books of the birth of this generation's central anti-Jew lie, Palestinian nationalism, today's mutant form of Jew hatred, otherwise known as anti-Semitism. In today's edition, we'll take up the case of Jeremy Corbyn, head of the Labour Party in England, as an example of today's latest wrinkle in expressing, however, under the table, one's anti-Jew animosity. After the Holocaust, direct verbal attacks against the Jews became impolite, became taboo, really. So one way around that was to promote the toxic fairy tale of an ancient Palestinian nation whose entire ancient homeland was stolen by the Jews, and also by perverting the word genocide, invented by a Holocaust survivor, turning it into a synonym for massacre, which it is not. Today, as we shall see, World Anti-Jewry hides its hostility on UN-generated International Holocaust Remembrance Day by attaching to a very lengthening list of horrors that were not genocide in order to distract from the uniqueness of the Holocaust, the world's unique hatred of the Jewish people. Today, the fashion is never to speak of the Holocaust of the Jews in isolation, but always as one of many instances of genocide that were not genocide in its original conception. And as an example of this behavior, we will focus on Jeremy Corbyn, who is a textbook example of anti-Jew denial, alongside David Irving and Mahmoud Abbas, and basically the entirety of the Arab Muslim world. Also observed is the weird friendship between Corbyn, the old red, and therefore atheist, with Hezbollah, which means party of God, and with Hamas, which does double duty as an acronym for Islamic Resistance Organization and a Muslim concept of passion. Religious passion so intense it can drive a Muslim believer jihadi to commit suicide as he massacres as many innocent Jews as possible. For pious Muslims like these, murdering Jews is more important than life itself. And we will also touch upon the leaked news of Jared Kushner in his peace plan, calling for the dismantling of UNRWA, what yours truly has called for ages the greatest UN corruption scam in the history of the United Nations after the UN itself. And we'll get started after the following message from Israel News Talk Radio.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program advertising Phantom Nation, inventing the Palestinians as the obstacle to peace, a book available on Amazon in a Kindle ebook version or two-volume hardcover box set, or patronize your local bookstore and have them order a copy. It is simultaneously a great read and chronicle of the birth of this generation's central anti-Jew lie, Palestinian nationalism, this generation's mutant form of Jew hatred, otherwise known as anti-Semitism. It is the second day, Kaf Hei B'Nachem Av, Parashat Re'eh, Tavshin Ayin Ches, 5778, the first day, Monday, 6 August 2018, podcasting from the hills of Judea. The older I get and the more I see of life, the more I am convinced of the truth of the Torah Masinai, the Torah of the Jews. What convinces me is, first, the mind-boggling genius of the writing, the amazing immortal history of the Jewish people contained within, and the behavior of anti-Jews like Jeremy Corbyn, current head of the Labour Party in the UK, men like him and Adolf Hitler and David Irving, all of them with a mind off the rails when the idea of the Jew is paramount, which is often obsessively so, thinking of Jews for people like them makes them crazy. What all anti-Jews exhibit is an attachment to Jews that is no less powerful than that which drives the observant religious Jew every morning to strap on verses from the book of Exodus and be reminded many times during the day of God, when eating, when answering nature's call. Being a Jew, an observant Jew, is a daily occupation, and apparently also for anti-Jews, as Jewishness is an all-consuming pursuit for serious Jews. So Adolf Hitler was consumed by his insane hatred of us 24/7, and not only he, but Louis Farrakhan and his soulmate Barack Obama and Jeremy Corbyn. Corbyn has a political record of bashing Israel, of calling Hezbollah, that's the Shiite Iranian front of terrorist Jew killers, and Hamas, the Sunni Muslim Brotherhood assassins, he calls them both his friends. And what is so weird in this friendship is that this radical of the hard left, the left notorious for its hatred of religion, the opiate of the masses, said Karl Marx, he is friends with the Party of God, which is what Hezbollah means, and with Hamas, which is an Arabic word meaning the homicidal, suicidal passion that drives Muslims to murder Jews in suicide attacks. That's how powerful Muslim Jew hatred can be. For jihadis, murdering Jews is more important than life itself. Indeed, what often strengthens my faith in the God of Israel are anti-Semitic attacks that teach me just how powerful the idea of Jews is and how it can drive some people, too many people, out of their minds. Take, for example, a common situation, we read about it from time to time in the newspapers, of low-life, low-IQ males who on a Saturday night, say, spent hours working up a sweat, getting dirty, smashing inert stone in a Jewish cemetery, like prisoners doing hard time breaking rocks, in this case, Jewish headstones. So driven are such thugs by their hatred of Jews, they're driven to such brainless activity. They arrive in the dead of night in a pickup truck. They have a winch. They take out sledgehammers and spray paint cans, smash some headstones, wrap chains around the others, and with the winch pull them down. They use the paint cans to spray swastikas on others. They have spent money on the gasoline to drive to the cemetery, money on the paint they buy. They work themselves into a dirty sweat instead of on a Saturday night, doing something entertaining, educational, cultural, civilized, nice. Jewishness is for such people a torment. They're driven by hatred. And I ask, what other religion, what other ideology does that to people? So last week, a top story was about Jeremy Corbyn in England and his record of anti-Jew activities that can only harm him the more we hear about them. Last week as well, we learned of another Labour MP, Damien Endicott, who was exposed as another lunatic Jew hatred for having posted on Facebook the age-old belief that we Jews drink blood as part of our religion. Interesting, too, is that the first recorded European blood libel took place in England, in Norwich, in the late 12th century. And as for Corbyn himself, we learned that on the UN's invented International Holocaust Remembrance Day, every year, January 27, in 2011, Corbyn and 21 other Labour MPs and one Conservative MP proposed in the Commons changing the name of the day, in the UK at least, to Genocide Memorial Day - Never Again for Anyone. Corbyn said this name would reflect the fact that, quote, Nazism targeted not only Jewish people. He said every life is of value, and the new name should be accompanied by a statement of purpose according to which, quote, the first victims of the Nazis were the disabled. The first to be sent to concentration camps were working-class activists and trade unionists. Nazism targeted not only Jewish, but also Roma, the gypsies, Jehovah's Witnesses, lesbians, gays, and bisexual people, and others they deemed undesirables, close quote. This is all true, but what's missing is the big difference between these undesirables, scarcely mentioned, if at all, in Mein Kampf,
versus the Jews, who are mentioned on just about every page. Only the Jews, Hitler believed, were plotting on killing old Germans, taking over Germany and using it as a base to enslave the whole world. As it was, the UK statement, issued on that day, included a commitment to remember all the victims of Nazi persecution, quote, as well as later genocides in Cambodia, Rwanda, Bosnia, Darfur, close quote. In other words, even the current official statement was as anti-Semitic as Corbyn's suggestion for a new name for denying the uniqueness of the Holocaust by attaching all these other horrors, which were not Holocausts. They were not genocide. The word genocide is not a synonym for massacre. The word was invented by a survivor of the Holocaust, the Shoah, who lost his whole family, a linguist who knew 14 languages, Raphael Lemkin, and he said there was no word in any of them that he knew to describe what was done to the Jewish people. So he invented the word genocide. But since then, anti-Jews keep stealing it and misusing it in order to deprive the Jews of its moral force. It's fascinating behavior, I think. I never cease to marvel at this. Growing list of massacres now commonly attached to International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's fascinating that the dozens of official foreign ministry statements on that day follow the same pattern. One is reminded of C.G. Jung's notion of the collective unconscious, because on International Holocaust Remembrance Day, the official statements of so many governments are eerily similar. They follow the same pattern. They may start off with a word or two about the Holocaust and anti-Semitism, but then move on to a general objection to all kinds of prejudice and racism, bigotry, homophobia, Islamophobia, arachnophobia, sexism, whatever. The immense evil of anti-Semitism, which was at the heart of the Second World War and ended the lives of 60 million people, remains a history too many people cannot face, like David Irving, like Jeremy Corbyn, and other Holocaust deniers. I find it a fascinating psychiatric condition. What has happened to the word genocide is another instance of stealing from the Jews and twisting what was stolen. In the black heart of the Holocaust was the drive to seek out, find, and kill every Jew in the world. The Jews were portrayed as not only the enemies of Germany, but all mankind. The world had to be saved from the Jews. The Nazis produced propaganda films likening Jews to rats spreading diseases. And there was nothing like this in what the Turks did to the Armenians, their butchery, their savagery. The Turks wanted the land on which the Armenians were living and had no moral restraint on what they did to drive the Armenians off of the land. But this, that they thought of the Armenians as a menace to the human race that had to be exterminated everywhere, the Turks had no plans on going after the Armenians in, say, Asbury Park, New Jersey, or Fresno, California. They wanted the land the Armenians were living on and did what they did to get them off of it, without any civilized restraint. And so now all these other massacres are routinely added to Holocaust remembrance as if they were two genocides, but none of them were genocides. What the Turks did to the Armenians was the work of age-old savage Muslim Turks, like Attila the Hun, like Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar. As individuals, Jews have no monopoly on individual human suffering. Don't misunderstand, Jewish women raped and murdered by Nazis and Poles did not suffer more than the Armenian women who got the same treatment at the hands of the Muslim Turks. But outside that individual framework in which we're all equal human beings, there has been only one genocide. And that's what drives the Jeremy Corbyn and other lunatic Jew haters crazy. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
And so it was illuminating last week to learn that back in 2011, Jeremy Corbyn and soulmates in labor petitioned to change the name of International Holocaust Remembrance Day. They wanted to call it Genocide Memorial Day, never again for anyone. And who is anyone? Anyone but the Jews. Oh no, there have been many genocides. What happened to the Jews is not all that special. Let us not let the Jews hog the concept of genocide. You know how people say Jerusalem is holy to the three great monotheistic faiths? And never mind, the Jews do not count it to be monotheistic. And although Maimonides, the Rambam, calls Islam monotheistic, that's debatable. Think as well of that other cliché, you know, the three great Abrahamic religions, which only an illiterate who has never read the Bible could say. Read Genesis 21 and watch Abraham himself expel his firstborn son because he was so un-Abrahamic, so unlike his kind and merciful father. Like Holocaust deniers David Irving and Mahmoud Abbas, Jeremy Corbyn insists in his mind there was no Holocaust as the Jews tell it. The image of Jews as innocent as Jesus on the cross, is one image people like him cannot deal with. The Jew for them is not an object of pity. The Jew is not an innocent victim of other people's aggression. The Jew is the perpetrator of aggression. The Jews in Israel, according to Corbyn, act like Nazis toward the allegedly archaic Palestinian people. And I say this is a real mental disorder. These Holocaust deniers are incapable of facing the monstrosity of the Holocaust because that portrays the Jews as pitiable victims of other people's evil. When for them, these people, it's the Jews who are the villains, the embodiment of evil in every story. This is now universal goy behavior on January 27, I'm afraid. It's a form of Holocaust denial, albeit a milder form. It's not the kind of virulent behavior of an MP like Endicott, of accusing us Jews of being basically vampires. The routine behavior now, every January 27, is a form of anti-Jewitis. In 2012, I think the official UK statement addressed the Holocaust and, quote, similar genocides, in the plural, of course. And it's no coincidence that this is how Obama's anti-Jew soulmate Samantha Power got her job as the ambassadress to the UN. She wrote an award-winning book on genocides, in the plural. And for her last major vote at the UN, she abstained and let the world anti-Jewry, vote that our Temple Mount, indeed all of Jerusalem, is Muslim property. And by implication, we Jews are legal squatters and thieves of that property. To face the Holocaust honestly remains for too many Gentiles like Jeremy Corbyn, really like the entire Muslim and Arab populations of the world. It's an impossibility, for it engenders tremors of guilt in them for their own irrational, baseless Jew hatred. Anti-Jews use the Jews as a kind of spiritual spittoon into one spits their own poison. One Christmas Eve, I chanced on TV the live broadcast from St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City as the Pope led the spectacle of the processional, walking at the head of a column of holy men like himself, only he leaned on a shepherd's staff in front of him, topped by a crucifix. Not just a cross, Protestant style, but the image of a Jew being tortured to death for his religious beliefs, as if to convey the message that torturing Jews to death for their religious beliefs was what his church was all about. Indeed, Christianity, Islam, and even Marxism are all rooted in Jewishness, but at the same time that they revile the Jews, they claim to be the real Jews. The Vatican calls itself Veris Israel in Latin, real Israel, true Israel. Everyone wants a piece of the action. Christians dismiss the idea of a chosen people with a special covenant with God because all people have a special covenant.
How dare those Jews believe such a greedy thing? And don't forget those cliches. The three great monotheistic religions and the three great Abrahamic religions all are statements of others claiming to share the Jews' identity with us. And so in our time, Corbyn, the radical leftist ally of anti-Semitic, homicidal, suicidal Muslim maniacs, wanted in 2011 to rename Holocaust Memorial Day Genocide Memorial Day, never again for anyone, close quote. Notice as well the shameless plagiarization of the Jewish war cry, never again. I think that was Rabbi Kahana's use of a slogan for his JDL cult, never again. Only here Corbyn adds, never again for anyone, not just the Jews. In his mind, lots of peoples have suffered from being the victims of genocide. So there was nothing special about what happened to the Jews. Never again for anyone, he says. That should be the focus of the day. Not just on the Jews, says Jeremy Corbyn. It's a behavior like this, caused by no other religion, philosophy, or ideology, that shines a powerful, unique light on the powerful truth of Jewishness, what it does to others. From this nation dividing itself by its religion came 4,000 years of Jewish history, 2,000 years of Christian history, 14 centuries of Islamic history, with Islam being the most unoriginal intellectual property theft of all. It's really a form of anti-Semitism. Remove all the Jewish roots of the verses in the Quran and the whole thing collapses. It will be interesting to see how Corbyn at the helm of Labour plays out. UK Jewry has come together and spoken clearly about him. There was that unprecedented cooperation a couple weeks ago between the three major Jewish newspapers, collectively printing the same editorial on the front page, pointing the finger, j'accuse, at Jeremy Corbyn. There's fear that if Corbyn becomes prime minister, a major segment of British Jewry will abandon ship, flee the country. Notice, too, the coincidence that in the United States, the Democratic Party was led for 8 years by the anti-Semitic Barack Obama, this Louis Farrakhan clone. And now its sole sister in the UK, the Labour Party, is being led by a Jew-hater, no less, the likes of which we have not seen since the Nazis and the fascists in the last century, when there were lots of them, lots of those leaders, Hitler, Mussolini, Enver Hoxha in Albania, Miklos Horthy in Hungary. Today we also have Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey, who's another Corbyn-esque anti-Jew, as belligerent as the fascists last century. Since last winter, he has repeatedly sent Turkish warships and naval craft to provoke and harass Greek ships and planes, basically threatening to invade Greece, as Turkey in 1975 invaded Cyprus in the north of that island and trampled on the indigenous Greeks and made thousands of them, I think, flee south. That is an occupation that nobody talks about. President Trump has done the right thing in applying pressure on Turkey now for its cruel arrest of an American evangelical pastor, Andrew Brunson, in order to force the U.S. to hand over extradite Erdogan's rival, Gulen, who shelters in the United States. Turkey has become, with nary a peep from its NATO partners, an Islamo-fascist tyranny, where tens of thousands of people have lost their jobs, been imprisoned, high-ranking army officers, the army having been the traditional guardian of democracy in 20th century Turkey, journalists and teachers by the thousands also fired and imprisoned. And not surprisingly, like other megalomaniacal dictators in history, Erdogan is a lunatic Jew-hater. He's a supporter of Hamas, which is the same Muslim Brotherhood that produced Osama bin Laden and a legion of other Muslim terrorist monsters. Erdogan himself is thus, in backing Hamas, guilty of Islamic terrorist atrocities, just like the priests in neighboring Shiite Iran. In responding to President Trump's treating him in a fashion reminiscent of Trump in his early Little Rocket Man attacks on Kim Jong-un, Erdogan said, quote, Trump was showing, quote, an evangelical Zionist mentality. Both of them, in his head, are wicked ideologies, Zionism and evangelical Christianity. For sure, he knows Vice President Pence is an evangelical Christian, and like his community, Pence is an ardent supporter of the Zionist state, which in Erdogan's mind is an evil state
for daring to rule and persecute believers in the one true faith. Versus Israel, where for a significant, but I suspect, shrinking percentage of the Jewish population, religion plays no role in their lives at all. These are the enlightened people, still distressed, they were last week, by the Knesset nation-state law, because that law draws a line between Jews and non-Jews when Jewish identity is for such people traditionally associated to religion. It's a religious identity before anything else. They were Jews before the State of Israel, versus these Israelis who see themselves as not belonging to the Jewish nation, but the Israeli nation. After the Sabbath two nights ago, Israel's enlightened gathered, not for the first time, in Rabin Square in Tel Aviv to protest the new law, as they had 2 weeks earlier gathered to protest the new surrogacy law, depriving sodomites from bringing a child into this world that they can use in acting out their perverse fantasies of being husband and wife, mommy and daddy.
Everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
So, on Motzi Shabbos, Saturday night, Israel's enlightened novelists and former generals raised in the social democratic traditions of the IDF gathered to protest the nation-state law because in their shallow minds it excludes non-Jews and did not treat them as equal Israelis, which is not true. They have always had full equality in this state. In their individual lives, they vote like everybody else, pay taxes like everybody else. They always have been entitled to all the perks of citizenship. What they're not entitled to is membership in the Jewish people. And therefore, they are not entitled to call this their people's homeland. For the Arab Muslims with Israeli citizenship, this surely is not their homeland, not when they call themselves Arabs, not when they call their language Arabic, and 5 times daily bow down in the direction of their holy city like no other, Mecca, in the Arabian Peninsula. That is their ancient homeland. And as for the Druze, our cousins, our blood brothers, since when have they ever demanded an independent nation-state? Is Israel their home? Absolutely. And it's not unusual for many states to be home to a majority nation like us, and a minority community, one or two, even more. Think of Spain with its Basques and its Catalonians speaking their own languages, where the official language is Spanish. So the official language in Israel now is Hebrew. What the Israelis in Rabin Square were ostensibly protesting was the exclusion of the Druze from the new nationality law, but underneath, unbeknownst to them, they were protesting the law for being too Jewish. Especially when, for such post-religious enlightened Israelis, Jewishness, Jewish, the word, it resonates in their minds with religion. the Jewish religion, and since they are not religious, they identify as Israelis, meaning that's their nationality, and it should be like all national identities with no connection to religion. Think of Catholic Spain next door to Catholic France. Their common religion never stopped them from fighting and experiencing themselves as two separate nations. This is what Israel's post-Zionist, really post-Jewish Jews want. When the late Yitzhak Rabin became prime minister for the second time in 1992, he said in his first speech to the Knesset that Israel would no more be a people that dwells alone, a prophecy in the book of Numbers by the Gentile prophet Bilaam. By that he meant Israel would no longer shun the PLO and be unique in the world for still doing that when everybody else had shaken Arafat's hand. Because Rabin was raised by rabid anti-Jew communists, he never understood that a people that dwells alone was not a curse, as Bilaam intended. It was a blessing. For Rabin and Peres, Zionism was not about rescuing the Jews, but rescuing them in order to transform them into something non-Jewish, non-religious Jews, in the belief that this would put an end to murderous anti-Semitism. It is this spirit that was alive and well in Rabin Square on Saturday night. The aggression against classical Zionism was shocking, not only for itself, but the obliviousness of the crowd to their own attack on classical Zionism. This country has an official Herzl Memorial Day. The National Cemetery, Mount Herzl, is named for him. He's been on our money, but he never once waved the flag of a future state for Jews and Druze and Muslims and Christians, Eritreans and Sudanese. He did dream of a state just for the Jewish people, which did not preclude, even in his book, non-Jews living in it. The Torah is perfectly accepting of that, provided the Gentiles are friendly and respectful. Being the ignoramus about the expression that a people that dwells alone is a blessing, not a curse, others think the Torah admonition to love the stranger because we were strangers in Egypt means we have to be nicer to the putatively prehistoric Palestinian people than we are when there is no way that we are ever enjoined to love the people that murder us all the time, that literally burn our crops and nature preserves. No, Theodore Herzl was no multi-culti cultist. He was far more modest in his dream than these compulsive, virtue-signaling narcissists. All Herzl wanted was one cute little state for the Jewish people, and he was not at all ashamed to speak just for the Jews and not be afraid of being called a greedy Jew, which is an unspoken age-old slander at work today, no less, in the opponents of the nationality law. Oh, those greedy Jews who don't want to share their homeland with other nations. World anti-Jewry today thinks nothing of demanding that Israel execute the two-state solution, which will include a shared capital with the imaginary ancient Palestinians, and never mind such a splitting of a capital city has never been known in the history of the human race, especially when the religion of one of the two peoples requires the subjugation, the oppression, and humiliation of the other. This is in the Quran, and this is how the Jews lived for 14 centuries under tyrannical Islam. The fantasy of a future Jerusalem shared by Israelis and these savage Arabs who glorify those who pounce upon us and murder us, stabbing us in the back, who name schools after these homicidal, suicidal, anti-Semitic murderers, that's another symptom of lunatic anti-Jewitis. The good news over the weekend was of Jared Kushner's peace plan in the making, including a shutting down of UNRWA, which would be amazing. The Gaza Strip is nothing but an artificial rectangle of real estate, a remnant of Egypt's invasion of Eretz Yisrael in 1948. It is land marked on the League of Nations map of Palestine as part of the Jewish homeland, and as such Israel has the right to declare that as world anti-Jewry calls Judea and Samaria occupied Palestinian territory, so Israel has the right and should start calling Gaza occupied Israeli territory, and announce that Israel looks forward to the eventual removal of the 70% of the people in the Strip living on the dole provided by anti-Jew peoples overseas. Israel should also announce that it will no longer participate in the disgraceful practice of helping the people in Gaza survive by supplying them with electricity and infusing every day, daily,
semi-trailers loaded with the goods, all kinds of goods. And because Israel's electrical and water systems are connected to Gaza, it might take some time to disconnect, build new infrastructure. Israel should announce that in 5 years it will cease supporting anything in the Strip. This should give the world notice that pretends to care so much about the Palestinian victims of Jewish racism and fascism, give them time to relocate them. And Jared Kushner's plan of shutting down UNRWA should be a great first step. As the entirety of the Palestinian nationalist cause is an anti-Semitic hoax, a bogus claim to national sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael by a nation absent from all historical records, so the Gaza Strip is this artificial rectangular district sustained by this generation's anti-Jew Gentile states, who after the Holocaust could no longer aggress directly against Jews, that was in bad taste, and they would choose to support the Jew killers of this generation. So today they do that indirectly by supporting the Muslims in Gaza, who periodically over 70 years attack us. In the 1950s, it was terror atrocities committed by self-defined Fedayeen coming out of the Gaza Strip into Israel to murder people at random. In the 1970s and 80s, it was the PLO and its false nationalist narrative. Today it is Islam, plain and simple, that burns in the savage breasts of these brutes who launch rockets into Jewish homes and burn the fertile fields made fertile after 14 centuries by us, after 14 centuries of neglect by Muslims. The Trump administration plan includes, besides the idea of shutting down the scam that is UNRWA, that provides support for over 5 million alleged Palestinian refugees when there may be less than 30,000 authentic ones still alive, if it includes this plan, promises of support for the so-called Palestinians, I'm afraid it will commit a grievous conceptual error. Israel's enemies are not Palestinians, with a modest demand for their own cute little state next door to Israel. This is just not so. In the 2006 elections here, 75% of the votes went to the Muslim Brotherhood. That's Hamas. These people are first and foremost Muslims who are driven by their Muslim hatred of Jews, which is basic to that religion. The political goal of statehood for Palestinians is a fantasy and camouflage for their basic Muslim hostility and identity. Kushner and Greenblatt will make a major blunder if they cater to the fantasy of this phantom nation in any way. Okay, that's it for this week's edition of Phantom Nation, named for the book of the same name, an atomic bomb of a book available on Amazon or through your local bookstore. Once again, today's music was by Hartwell, that's Hart and Well, that's Carmina Orr and Chilik Frank, by David Gerwitz, and as usual, Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shabbat Tekoa. אפילו
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.